Okay, I'll take a look. Okay. So this week, as we know, is Yom HaTzmaut, and we're going to spend a few minutes exploring a mahalach that I thought of for trying to understand exactly what our role is today, not our role specifically us, but in general, Klal Yisrael's role today during this time of our history. Let me preface it as follows, and then we can, if you find the name, we can mention the name. If not, then I guess we could just say now that that we'll dedicate these shiurim to Lili Nishmas Menachem Perl's mother, who just passed away a couple days ago. We don't know, as of now, we don't know her name yet. But regardless of what her name is, but we should have in mind that she should be Lili Nishma for her, and we should Menachem should have an achama for her passing. Thank you also to the Bultaxes for having the regular shiur every Monday night. We appreciate it very much, and for having a little bit of an expanded version tonight on Yom HaTzmaut. Hopefully it should be a schus for all of us also. Okay, so basically the question that I want to try to address is what do we think our role as Klal Yisrael is during this period of time? Let me explain. After 1948 and 1967, the Yom HaTzmaut, the Independence Day War, Declaration of Independence, and the Six-Day War and Yom Yerushalayim. So there was a kind of a feeling like, wow, Mashiach is coming. This is it. He's on our doorstep. He's knocking. This is amazing, right? Miracles. And I feel, and I think a lot of people feel this way also, you know, both Israelis and people, you know, Anglos that live here in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Laretz, that over the past, you know, 40, 30, 20 years, whatever it's been, that things have slowly begun to not go very fast anymore. I mean, we thought it was going to be really fast and we're going somewhere and we can see the direction. And now we sort of feel like it's just day to day. There's not really much happening in this country other than lots of problems with politics, you know, leaving Gush Katif and having daily problems with other nations and other people that live in the area, if you know what I mean. Security issues and God forbid. And we don't really see so much progress. And I wonder sometimes, and maybe some of you do also, and I know other people wonder, you know, yes, we speak about Yom HaTzmaut, and yes, we speak about Medina Yisrael as hopefully the Atzchalta of the Geula, the beginning of the Geula in some form. We don't quite know how far along we are yet, but just, where's the progress? Isn't there supposed to be progress? Aren't we supposed to be seeing clearly that we're moving forward? And we look around and we see this country has problems, but also is great, but are we moving? And where are we moving to? And we sometimes wonder, we don't really know. Where are we moving to? We hope we're moving towards Mashiach and towards the Beis HaMikdash, but it's hard to see on a day-to-day level, and even on a yearly level. If you look over the past 20, 30 years, it's hard to see. So the question is, what are we supposed to make of this, and what is our role today here in Eretz Yisrael, given the fact that we don't seem to be moving very, very fast when it comes to the Geula? We found the Aschalt Geula, but we haven't moved faster. First thing is to just remember that there's a Gemara, a very famous Gemara, which you may be familiar with, and the Gemara says that there's two ways the Geula could happen. One is called Be'ita, and one is called Achishana, a very famous idea. We'll start with the second one first. Achishana means I'm going to make the Geula come very quickly. I'm going to speed it up. And Beitam means it's going to come at its time, at the proper time. So it's based on a pasuk in Yeshayahu, and the way the Gemara understands it is basically, if Klal Yisrael are zochaving, if we merit to do the right thing, then Hashem will speed it up. Then Achishana will take place. Then the Geula will come much more quickly. But if we don't merit, lo zachu, right, we didn't quite get to the level of feeling that we were doing everything we're supposed to do. So then, basically, beta, it's going to come at the right time. Does that mean it's not going to come at all? No, it's going to come. It'll definitely come. And we have, hopefully, emunah shlema, that it will come. But it's not going to come any earlier. It's going to come at the right time. And the right time means it's going to be a natural process. So, as of now, you know, the question is, which gula are we living? Are we living the Achishana one? Are we living the Be'ito one? And is there a way to change it? So, I think everything we're going to say right now is going to assume the worst result, that we're living the Be'ita gula. Achishana would be great, but let's assume for now we're living the Be'ita gula. How do we understand the relationship between Yom HaTzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim and what's happening today in Eretz Yisrael and where we're headed? So, there are a lot of things you can say about this, obviously, and some of this stuff I'm sure you've heard already, but we'll just try to put it together a little bit more. But I want to give you a bit of a framework, which is a bit of a chiddush. This is like my own idea. I didn't see this anywhere else. But I think it's a very realistic one, and I think it's a very nice framework and a model for trying to appreciate what's happening now, which again, you know, some of the ideas I'm going to say are already known, but I think the context makes it very, very interesting to think about. And the context that I'd like to put it in to suggest, and feel free to totally disagree with me on this, because they're not really related, but the idea is interesting, is Sfiras HaOmer. Okay, so this makes a nice connection between Sfiras HaOmer and Yom HaTzimut Medina Yisrael. What is the concept of Sfiras HaOmer? So there are a lot of ideas about Sfiras HaOmer, but let me give you one mahalach, which is pretty well known and pretty widely accepted, but give you a certain way that it's presented as follows. The fact that Sfiras HaOmer comes between two big holidays, we all know, right? It comes between Pesach and between Shavuos. Okay, and Sfiras HaOmer is this period in the middle where you're counting and hopefully you're growing and trying to get from Pesach to Shavuos. According to the Ramban has a really interesting statement, and I think Rabbeinu Lechai says this also, that there's obviously a connection between Sfiras HaOmer and Pesach and Shavuos, right? The fact that the Torah talks about Pesach, then it says you should count 7 weeks, whatever it is. And then comes Shavuos. Then comes this new holiday of Shavuos. So the Ramban says this is actually the same format as we have on Pesach and Sukkot itself, meaning that you have the first day as a Yom Tov, and the last day is a Yom Tov. And in the middle is, what do we call it? Chol HaMoed. So says the Ramban in a very, very famous piece, and Rabbeinu Bechaye, that Sfiras HaOmer is exactly the same thing. That Pesach is the first day of Yom Tov, meaning the entire holiday of Pesach is like the first day. Shavuos is like the last day of Yom Tov. And Sfiras HaOmer is Chol HaMoed. Beautiful, right? Very interesting idea. Sfiras HaOmer is like Chol HaMoed. It's a special time, almost like a Yom Tov in a certain sense, and a time of festivities. So yeah, without getting into this now, unfortunately, we've sort of lost that a little bit over the years because of the mourning that we practice because of the students of Rabbi Akiva. It's gone a little bit to the negative side now. But the positive side of Sfiras HaOmer is still there. We've just got to tap into it a little bit. And that's definitely something that you can still think about, this idea that Sfiras HaOmer is Chol HaMoed. So this doesn't quite do with Chol HaMoed, but the way that a number of the Baalei Chassidus explain it is as follows. This also is an idea which you're familiar with, but basically, I think the sefer that I saw this the best was a sefer called Mesilos, a really interesting sefer called Mesilos, which they have in the Torah Chaim library. It's a whole series of volumes. Basically, what it does is it gives you like a compilation of different Hasidic ideas on the different holidays of the year. They do a really nice job. They bring first some Rishonim and some Chazal, and then they throw in like summaries of a bunch of different, you know, Sfarim of Hasidus and how they understand the different ideas. And they put it all together very, very nicely. I've really enjoyed it myself. Maybe it's just because I'm an ignoramus when it comes to Hasidus. So I need another sefer like that to put it together. Maybe that's why I like it so much. I don't know all the Sfarim of Hasidus so well. So I read this book. It gives me a nice summary of what a lot of them have to say. And then I have a chance to look it up afterwards. Anyway, so they put this together very nicely. And they present it as this way of Pesach as the Yom Tov, and Shavuos is the Yom Tov, and Sfiras HaOmer is a Chol HaMoed, based on the Ramban. And then basically they go into the following idea. And this is also a famous idea. A lot of this is mentioned in the Bnei Yisachar, as well as a number of other Sifrei Chassidus. The Bnei Yisachar is the only one that I was able to get my hands on, unfortunately. But the other ones I'm sure are out there, I just couldn't find them. Anyway, so he says like this. Basically he says that this concept of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sfiras HaOmer in the middle is that Pesach and Shavuos both involve what we call Isra'usa de la'ela. They involve sort of an awakening from on high. We have in Kabbalah and Chassidus the very special idea that some things are basically HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming to us from top down, and Hashem gives us the special light. And some things are Isra'usa de la'tasa, basically our going up. We have to start from the bottom up and say we have things to do, it's our job, and we have to work towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So basically what he says to explain this idea of Pesach and Shavuos and Sfiras HaOmer, which they, in the Sefer of Mesilos, put together with the idea of the Chol HaMoed, they basically say that Pesach and Shavuos are the Isra'usa de la'ela. Okay, Pesach is clearly coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, we have to do some things along the way to make ourselves worthy, but essentially it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's his baby, as they say. He's the one that took us out of Egypt. He's the one that killed all the firstborn. He's the one that killed all the Egyptians at the Yam Suf and took us all around. It's basically HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Isra'usa de la'ela. Hashem is calling out from Shamayim, and it's his awakening. He's the one that's making this happen. So that's Pesach. Okay, Pesach, we look at this and we say, Me'es Hashem Ha'isa Zos, Hini Flas Be'ineinu. Okay, it's from Hashem. It's wondrous in our eyes. It's not us. Okay, we didn't do anything on Pesach. Yes, Moshe helped a little bit, but it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is how we started as a people. This is our, you know, our Am Yisrael started because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If not for him, it wouldn't have started. Fine. Where does Sfiras HaOmer come in? And asks the Bnei Yisachar and others, why do we need to have 49 days in between Pesach and Shavuos? Why couldn't we just get the Torah the next week? Har Sinai was not a specific mountain. It was some random mountain in, you know, in the desert. So why couldn't they just wait a few days to get past Har Sinai, get their water and their food, and then 2 days later say, okay, it's time to get the Torah. Why do we have to wait 7 weeks? What's the goal? So says the Bnei Yisachar and others, but he develops it in this way particularly, that this is where we need this Rusa de la Tasa. Okay, we need our work. Okay, we weren't ready. We were not Zocha yet. We were not worthy to get the Torah at that point. Okay, the Torah takes a lot of work. And basically what he says is after the Isarusa de la Ela, the bang of Pesach, we need more time to get ourselves ready. And we need to work day by day by day by day to build up to the point where we're ready for the second Isarusa de la Ela, for the Shavuos Isarusa de la Ela, Hashem's basically giving of the Torah, which also was obviously a miraculous event. But we weren't there yet. We weren't ready. We need time. And we need, again, a slow process of building upwards to get us there. So essentially what he says is once you start with the beginning of the Isarusa de la Ela of Pesach, then we need our work, our avoda during the middle period, the Chol Hamoed period, the Isarusa de la Tasa. And then once we get past that Chol Hamoed, past that period, and we get to the time of Shavuos, hopefully we've developed ourselves and worked on ourselves. Hopefully we're ready for the Isarusa de la Ela number two of Shavuos, of Hashem coming down from the mountain, again with a bang, and giving the Torah. That's essentially what the Bnei Yisachar says. And again, he develops it more. There's more ideas. But that's essentially the context of understanding Pesach, Shavuos, and Sfiras HaOmer in his mind. So now, again, is that directly related to our Medina Yisrael today on Yom HaTzimut? No. But if you think about it, I think it's a really wonderful model for what's going on today. Hey, today, what was Yom HaTzimut and Yom Yerushalayim? What were they? Basically, that was a bang. Okay, yes, it happened naturally that the UN declared this, and then we declared a state, and then there was a war. But if you look back, certainly at that time, and certainly even more so, you look back today, and that was basically HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bang. Okay, both the event of 1948 and 1967, Yom Yerushalayim of the Six-Day War, it was clearly Yad Hashem. Clearly, clearly it was Masa Nisim, and there's almost no doubt about it, that, you know, Eis Hashem Haisazos Hiniflaz Beinenu Zayom Asa Hashem Nagilu V'Nisim Chavo. It's very, very clear. So I think in this model, it's exactly the same thing. Not exactly, but it's very, very similar. Isarusa de la Ela are the two major days we're celebrating during this month of Iyar. Again, I'm not trying to ignore the fact that before 1948, there were a lot of Jews that put in a lot of sacrifice to make Medina Yisrael happen. Okay, that's clear. And all the people that came, even the secular ones that came before that, had basically made this land what it was before the state. We couldn't have done it without it. That's certain. But at the same time, if we didn't have the state afterwards to make it, to cement it, it wouldn't have stayed. Okay, meaning what they did before 1948, if it didn't turn into a state, if the British were still in charge today, that wouldn't have, what they did may not have lasted in the same way. It would have been used for other things. It wouldn't really have developed the way that it has. So at the end of the day, I think, you know, we can still look at 1948 and 1967 as the Isarusa de la Ela, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically giving us the bang and telling us, wow, you guys, this is it. I'm doing this for you, and I'm going to make some miracles, and voila, presto, you have a state. You have, hopefully, an Eschalta de Geula in some form. But then comes the next period. Okay, now we have a long period of, we don't know how long, hopefully it'll be over soon, but, you know, it doesn't seem like naturally, if we're dealing with this in the natural model of Beita, you know, Mashiach doesn't seem like he's coming tomorrow. And we daven, and he can come tomorrow. We believe that he can come tomorrow. And maybe he'll come tomorrow if we're worthy. Maybe even if we're not worthy, he'll still come tomorrow. But again, if you look at the natural things, it seems like we're not quite there yet. We have a lot of things to work on in this country and for Jews across the world. So what's our role for now? Are we supposed to get discouraged and depressed based on the fact that nothing's happened over the past 30 years? Yes, things have happened. We've had wars. We've had help. We've had this and that. But, you know, you look at the growth and the progress towards Mashiach. Have we seen major steps like what happened those two times? You know, you read the accounts of what happened in Yom Yerushalayim, and like they thought Mashiach was coming next week. You know, they really believed it. It was amazing. But we haven't seen since then. It really hasn't been so much growth. It's been very small, slow steps, and maybe even some steps backwards. So I think this is where the second part comes in, and this is clear from many sources, again, without this framework, but the same idea, that this period right now is this Isarusa de la Tasa. This is our job. Hashem is saying it's in your hands now, guys. Okay, I started you off with a bang, and now you need to get moving. Even if it's going to be Be'itah, Okay, even if the Geula is going to come at the right time, but we do have sources. The Ramban in Shir HaShirim says something like this, and other sources also say that you still have a job to do. Okay, Hashem is giving us a job here and saying even if the Geula is going to come at the right time, even if it's going to come in, you know, next week, if it will come in 50 years, in 20 years, in 100 years, whatever it is, but we still have a job. We have to be ready. And if we're not ready, we're going to lose out on as much as we can gain from the second, hopefully, Esrus Adul Eila. The second Esrus Adul Eila, hopefully, is the coming of Mashiach and the building of the Beis HaMikdash, which, again, may be more natural, but it'll be clear that it's coming from Hashem. And right now, our avodah of Esrus Adul Tassas, we have to make ourselves, as Klai Yisrael, ready as much as we can for that step. Which, according to the Ramban Shir HaShirim, he has a line where he basically says that the more that you build whence Hashem brings you back to Eretz Yisrael, the more that you thank Hashem for it, and the more that you build with it, then maybe the more Geula Hashem will give you. So that's one idea. That, you know, maybe it could be that the more that we do, the faster Hashem will bring it. But even if not, we have an opportunity and we have a responsibility to get ready. We have to work on ourselves, and we have to work.
Really? Yeah. Can you expand on the word build? When you said build, what do you mean physically?
We'll talk about it in a second. Oh, okay. I'll get to it. That'll be my next step.
Question?
Yeah.
Sorry. Don't the two go hand in hand with, you know, not Shulman, but I mean, you know, went into the sea, and then Hashem did the salvation, and we brought the Korban Pesach, and Hashem did miracles. And, you know, we had an army, and we fought, and Hashem kind of came through, and we were successful.
Right.
Isn't it sort of like we do what we do, our part, and Hashem kind of...
For sure.
It's not either or, it's sort of a...
That's true. The question is, we don't really know exactly how the Geula is going to happen. And there are different versions of this in different models, and a lot of sources that speculate, but we don't really know. Based on what we see today, what we see happening, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook has a little bit about this in one of his farm called the Netivot Yisrael, which is also in the Tzar HaChaim library if you're looking for it, even though they may not have hold of all of it, but it's there. In Rav Melamed's Sefer Pnei Halacha on the Zmanim, he has a little bit in a footnote about this in his section on Yom HaTzmaut. I forget which page it's on, but one of the footnotes there, he also quotes some of this stuff about different versions of the Geula. And the version they're taking, basically by looking at our history, is we see that Hashem basically is bringing us back. We have Kibbutz Galios, at least a little bit, and a little bit of a miracle of starting off. And then now there's a period where we have to sort of come together and try to make things better. And then at some point, Hashem will bring the rest of the Geula. It's not clear whether it's going to happen. The more that we build, the faster it's going to happen. We're not. We don't know. So Achishana, certainly if we're worthy, it'll happen faster. But if we build, does that make us worthy? We don't know. You know, so we have to hope the more that we do, the more worthy we're going to be and the faster it'll be. What I'm saying is that even if we're not worthy to make it faster, we still have to do this avoda of working on ourselves and making ourselves ready. Because if we're not ready and it happens, then we're going to get caught without being prepared. And then we won't be able to be zocha to as much of the personal geula and to enjoy it as much as maybe we would have been otherwise.
So do you, when you say our geula, are you talking about spiritual
development? Give me a second. That was the next 15 minutes. It was going to be trying to detail a few different possible ways of trying to make ourselves ready. Okay. So that's basically the model, meaning that certainly the more that we do, the more Geula Hashem will give us, but we don't know exactly how that's going to happen. But either way, it doesn't matter. The work of Yisrus Adul Tassa, of slow, steady, methodical work, just like Sfiras Omer, day by day, step by step, I think is our avoda right now. The question is, how does that play itself out? How are we supposed to do this avoda, and what does this avoda mean? So we could spend a few hours talking about this. There's a lot of interesting material about this, and some of this is my own speculation. Some of it is stuff you can find in Sarim. I'll give you a few different methods of what I think could be the avoda that we have to work on. And again, we doesn't mean just us, it means everybody. Three or four different ways that we can talk about, which I think you can figure out on your own also. So number one is just the building of the country, okay, which involves the government, obviously, which we're responsible for a little bit. We can't control everything they do, obviously. They have to do what they think is right. But from our end, you know, certainly the government and certainly just the physical building of the country and making the country what it could be physically, okay? That's one area. I'll just give you, just to frame everything, I'll just give you another example of a source that talks about this in Rav Soloveitchik. So one of his ideas in Kol Dodi Dofek. Rav Soloveitchik himself is not the most, you know, ardent Aschalta de Geula proponent. He doesn't say it's definitely the first step of the Geula, but he says his understanding is that Hashem is knocking. Okay, and for sure what he says applies even if you do agree with Aschalta de Geula, and certainly what I'm saying now is for sure relevant, which is basically that Hashem is knocking in different ways. He's knocking at the door. He's knocking in the political arena, he's knocking in the building arena, he's knocking in the spiritual arena. And Rav Soloveitchik says, our job is basically to respond. We have to build and develop in all these different ways. So one of the ways that he mentions, and that I'll start with, is basically building up the country. And that's one thing, which again, we've seen already, amazing how the Navi, many, many places, the Nevuahs of Zechariah and Yechezkel and Amos are coming true before our very eyes. This way we see that, you know, all the people come to Yerushalayim, and it says there's going to be elderly and kids playing in the streets. And, you know, in Yechezkel it says that when people come through, they're going to say, is this the land that was desolate just 100 years ago? Haaretz ha'lazu ha'neshama te'avera. Now there's people, and now there's trees growing and fruits, and, you know, amazing. And people live here now in the cities. It's like incredible, right? So what's our job? So in terms of the building arena, one of our jobs as Klai Yisrael is to build more. Okay, we got to keep building. And Baruch Hashem, that does not seem to be a problem. There are other issues, but how fast the building is happening. But certainly, you know, the building is definitely taking place.
Who needs to do the building?
What'd you say?
Who needs to do the building?
The answer is everybody. Meaning, obviously, on day-to-day level. Okay, so that we're not getting into now. I'm not getting dragged into that one. Not going to get dragged there right now.
Jewish labor.
Let's just say it this way. The Jews need to be the ones to make sure that the building happens. Who does the building? We're going to leave that out for now. But it's certainly important that the building happens. And the building can happen because we make it happen, because there's a bikush, we need it to happen, because people make aliyah and people in Israel are having more babies. Okay, the more children you have, the more building there's going to need to be. And right now there's a bit of a shortage of building, but the more that there needs to be, the more that there will have to be. So that's one way that, you know, all of Klai Yisrael, including us, but everybody really can contribute to help force that building to happen through the different methods. And that's, again, slowly, slowly, surely, every little step that you see, another community is being built, more houses are being built. It's amazing. And that's part of maybe this Rusa Dilatasa that Hashem wants from us now.
Planting trees.
Planting trees, for sure. So again, same idea, planting the trees
or
crops.
Or Chaim said on the Pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, when you come to the land and you plant a tree, and the same
right.
Pasuk that talks about Orla
right.
says that we learn from that Pasuk that it's a mitzvah, actually a mitzvah to plant trees.
Beautiful, beautiful, very, very nice. So same idea. Okay, there's another famous one in Sanhedrin, which Rav Cook and others like to quote, which is basically that it says that based on a Pasuk that Ein lecha keitz megula mizu, you don't have a clear demonstration of the final of the geula taking place, other than seeing that the trees are being built up and planted and fruits are being grown in Eretz Yisrael. Amazing, amazing thing. We could add to that also that in addition to this type of building, you see construction, okay? And this is where our little part comes in. Okay, how many people get annoyed? Oh, the building, you know, waiting for a project and it's taking 10 years. And oh, there's construction. I sat in traffic today for an hour trying to get out of Yerushalayim, which is true. Not an hour, but a long time. Okay, this is so annoying. I have to wait in the car and I'm in a rush. And you stop for a second and say, wait one second. Let's think about this, okay? We have construction of a highway in Medina Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael, going towards Yerushalayim. And this was actually Phil's idea, that there's a very famous pasuk in Yeshayah, which I don't have open in front of me. Basically, it says, Yeshayah says towards the end, you should build the roads, basically, and make a way, pave the way for all the people to come. And Yeshayah was prophesizing also, which ends up being a prophecy about our time. It used to be maybe about the second Bayis Sheni, but it didn't quite happen that way then, and now we say that it's supposed to be relevant today. And you see, you think about that when you drive past the construction, or don't drive very fast, and you think about that pasuk. It was an amazing idea that Phil mentioned. Solo Solaham Sila said, wow, they're building the highway with three lanes on each side for Mashiach to come in, for the Beis Hamikdash. We need to have a big highway to Yerushalayim, assuming that we'll still have cars then. We'll assume where we are for now. I guess some could debate that. But that's, you know, a positive perspective that we can take on things that happen, even if we're not doing the building ourselves, but to be happy that it's happening, even if it sometimes causes us a little bit of an inconvenience. Yeah.
That's the present, even in Yerushalayim, you know,
we say in Shema Esrei. Also true, right? And benching, right? So the same thing, you know, construction on Yerushalayim, whatever it is, but you have these bottlenecks, and, you know, Baruch Hashem, around the country, there's more and more construction, more and more building, in many different ways, and we have to be happy about this, and we have to cause it to happen also. Again, slowly, 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 it does not happen overnight, but the little bit that it happens day by day and year by year is Yerusha Dilatasa, this is part of our preparation. That's one idea. Another idea, in terms of the building, is certainly the spiritual aspects. And that, of course, we all obviously have to do the best we can in terms of, you know, learning and keeping mitzvot and stuff like that. But there's other aspects of Ruchnius that are specifically connected to Eretz Yisrael that we can certainly work on. And this is mentioned, by the way, in the Chafetz Chaim, in some of his Sfarim. He also says, you know, he already sensed that the Geula was beginning to come, even in his time. He said, this is a great time to start learning, you know, about Sefer Kodshim and Halachos of the Korbanos. Again, not everybody's going to do that, but if you have in your mind that, you know, something about learning topics that were not relevant and are still not relevant quite yet, but they will be relevant soon. We have to prepare ourselves and train ourselves, you know, to be not even fluent, but just that these are topics that are talked about. And it's starting to happen today, even with videos and like stuff about the Beis Hamikdash on the internet and virtual tours. And it's starting to become slowly, it's starting to become a thing. Wow, the Beis Hamikdash, and it's great, and we see this, and you know, people learn more and more about it, and they make models and this and that. It's starting to become part of our culture in a way that it wasn't, you know, 50 to 100 years ago. We always davened for it. But how many people were actually making intricate models and trying to understand so many different things about it? We had a bar mitzvah, actually it was a hanachas tefillin, Eisha Torah, last week for a family relative. And on the roof of Eisha Torah, if anybody's ever been there, the new roof, they have this incredible model of the Beis Hamikdash there. It's really, really pretty. But just look at that, and I saw people from America were looking at them, pointing to the different parts, saying this, and this is that, and that's that. I'm not sure if that would have happened 100 years ago. Maybe in some places, but the point is we're living it, and we realize this is coming soon. It may not be for another 100 years, but we're already feeling it. And we have to feel it more. We have to learn more things about Kodshim and Beis Hamikdash and stuff like that, and whatever form it is. In addition to that, even just simply here in Eretz Yisrael, okay, mitzvos atzilios baretz, even if you're not into the Kodshim, but just learning, we just had Shemitah, and now it's time to learn about Trumos and Masros, okay, not just, okay, we say a bracha and we take some stuff, you know, to really understand a lot of the things behind that and Orla. It has to be, these are going to be household terms, which again, slowly it's happening, but we got to do a little more, got to do a little better. So that's another way to, you know, to get excited about all the new things, the new areas of Torah that before weren't so relevant, and now suddenly they're either becoming relevant day-to-day life, or at least they're within our grasp that we can feel that maybe they will be relevant soon. We got to try our best. So that's a little push for our Shavuos learning, which is hopefully going to be Maseches Chagiga. Again, not everybody could do it, but if it's something you could think about, Maseches Chagiga is a lot of the topics have to do with Aliyah L'Regel, okay, going to Yerushalayim in the Beis Hamikdash and bringing the Korbanos on Yom Tov, and also issues of Tum and Tar, which are not the easiest topics to learn, I admit. But these are all part of this idea. These are Torah ideas that are becoming, you know, more things that we have to feel. In addition to that, forget the learning part of it, but just the general idea that in our minds we feel it's the time of the Geula. We have to begin feeling that Mashiach is coming soon and really acting that way, preparing for it. Again, as they say, spiritually also, you need to be prepared for Mashiach to come. If you're not prepared, if you're not at the point when you're ready that he's supposed to come, then you're going to get caught, you know, red-handed. So they say, "Tzipisali Yeshua," the Gemara says, when you go up to Shemayim, they're asked, did you expect the Geula? Did you wait for it? Did you want it to come? And the answer has to be yes. You didn't know it was going to come the next day, but you have to say, I'm ready for it. And especially in our times today, for sure. That's really, really, really important. So that's another area which we can work on. A third area which comes from, you know, basically us Anglos and others coming from Chutz La'aretz is obviously in terms of Aliyah and everything that goes with that. Okay, meaning the more Aliyah we can bring, again, as we see now, Kibbutz Galios is not just a phenomenon where, you know, Hashem basically picks us up on an eagle and brings us to Eretz Yisrael automatically. Again, if you read the Rambam, it's not so clear, and you read other sources also, they didn't really know how the Geula was going to happen. And some people today still feel that Hashem is going to pick us up on eagles and just bring us at the end. But it seems to be, and again, this is what Soloveitchik says also, that, you know, the way that history seems to be showing itself is that we need a Tzerus of Dilatasa. Okay, we need to come and do it ourselves. Again, maybe at the end it'll all happen anyway. But the point is, as we said before, you know, we need to be prepared. And certainly the people that are already in Eretz Yisrael are going to be 1,000 times more prepared for the Geula than those that are coming from afar that had a chance to come and they didn't make it yet. Rav Cook and many others here in Eretz Yisrael also talk about this. Obviously, it's, you know, a very fundamental point of the Zionist enterprise that we need all the Jews to come from Chutz La'aretz. That's a very important point. Anything that we can do to help Aliyah is an amazing schus. Again, one person by person by person by person. And that's where obviously Nefesh B'Nefesh comes in with this schus they've had has been amazing. But again, it doesn't happen overnight. It happens slowly. But every year you hear thousands of people are coming and it's amazing. Yes, there are some people that are going, that are leaving also. That's true. But for now, let's talk a little, we'll focus on the positive. There are a lot of Israelis that are Yordim every year. I think there's tons of them also, unfortunately. But what we could do, you know, from our Anglo perspective, we could bring more people. And even those that can't come right away, we understand not everybody can come right away. But supporting Medina Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, giving money, sending their kids here, again, also just getting involved in things, even if they can't live, but to be more involved, to come and visit more, all the things that we do. But these are all things that slowly, step by step, with our Yisrusa Dilatasa, the little bit that all of us as a nation, we all put in, you know, hopefully that will get us you know, to our avoda that we're supposed to be doing now, which hopefully will make the geula come faster, and if not, at least that we'll be more ready. We'll be ready for it to come, and Hashem, you know, can we can feel prepared. There's a lot of other aspects we can talk about also, but I think this is, you know, these are some of the things to think about. Just mention a few other points, and my time is almost up, but Rav Orlean is not here yet, so we can go a few more minutes. Just a couple other points which relate to some of the aspects that I mentioned, but I'll just give you a few other sources here. The Eim Abam Smecha is some amazing material, if you're not familiar with it. Rav Teichtal, who was I think it was a Satmar Chassid, but he lived in Poland in the, you know, right before and during the Holocaust. And he came to the conclusion a long time ago that we need a Jewish state. He realized, you know, and most other people haven't realized it yet, that we absolutely need it. And some of the things he says are really amazing. Some of it is almost like prophecy. It's almost like Nebuah of what's actually happened. And some of the other things also, you know, he talks about how important it is that we all come back here. And he basically says the same thing, that it's not Hashem who's going to come and bring it from Shemayim. Basically, what seems to be needed is for the natural process, if we're talking about, certainly Be'itah means that we also have to come and we got to do it ourselves. And he talks about all the people that made Aliyah, which, again, he was talking about a lot of secular Zionists. He says what they've done is amazing. And he quotes a very famous Gemara that the king, King Omri, was a very wicked person. And yet he... the Gemara says he had a very special zchus in that he built one extra city in Eretz Yisrael. A very, very famous Gemara. And Rav Teichtal, obviously, in the Eim Abam Smecha, he extends that and he works with that a lot. And he says this is really indicative of the fact that even if you're the most wicked Russia and you have all these problems, you know, but if you can build up Eretz Yisrael, that's an amazing zchus. So that's the answer, you know, on the other side that say that this is, you know, secular Zionism and even religious Zionism is terrible. You know, so he says, no, we see from that Gemara that even if you're, you know, God forbid you're a Russia, but if you help build up Eretz Yisrael, then you have an amazing, tremendous zchus, and all of us can be involved in that. And he says later, he has a whole perek called Hayishuv VeHabinyan. It's the third perek in his sefer, where the whole perek is all about building up Eretz Yisrael. And he talks also about Bayis Sheni. You know, in the times of Ezra, where there's a number of psukim in Tanakh, and in the Gemara also, where they talk about how in Ezra's times as well, you know, at the beginning, not so many people came back. And not all of them were the greatest people. A lot of them were not the greatest people. And in Ezra and in the Gemara Darshan and the Psukim, they point out how the people that came back were great just because they came back. And he complains about all the people that didn't come back. So he basically says it's the same thing today. You know, the same thing today. A lot of the people that came back were not the firmest people. And they're not the biggest Talmid Chachamim, not the biggest, you know, the biggest Yidin. But he says that their zchus is tremendous. And he says that... based on that we got to get more people to come. Just like in Ezra, we have to get everybody else to come as well. It's really, really important. That's another aspect. I would just add to all this stuff also about bringing people back, that, you know, something we sometimes think about, we come back and make Aliyah, and it's not so simple. Okay, just in our personal lives, and I guess we'll conclude with this. In our personal lives also, we say, well, it's great to make Aliyah, but at the end of the day, it's really, really hard. A lot of, you know, problems, you know, bureaucracy and all sorts of other things. And a lot of just day-to-day issues, you know, with trying to, you know, get through to the person in the mirror, where you're trying to make an appointment for a doctor for 3 months, and they never answer the phone, you know? Like, I can't believe this. This is ridiculous, you know? Whatever it is. There's a lot of things like that. And, you know, obviously it's annoying, and you can express your complaints if you can find somebody to talk to. But at the end of the day, you have to be saying, you know, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I'm here, and all of this is part of my day-to-day Isurus Dilatasa. Every single step that I make here in this country is Kodesh. It's Kodesh. In America, it's not Kodesh. In England, it's not Kodesh. But here, yes, it's helpful for your family and you have to keep your health. But here, every step of just day-to-day living is automatically Kodesh. And the only proof is just drive outside our yeshiva and look around. And it's beautiful, such a beautiful sight. And if only we could feel that, not just when we look around, but also everything that we do in our lives. We go to jobs and, you know, sometimes the jobs that we have are not the greatest jobs. We feel like we're down on the bottom of the totem pole. We started on the top when we made Aliyah, and then we suddenly are at the bottom. Or we can't even find jobs in the fields that we want. Okay, obviously this... is personal as well, that you know, feel, well, is it really better that I should have come to Israel to do something which is way below what I could be doing, rather than have been in Chutzlarts and been this amazing person? You know, even for me personally, think about it, could have, you know, I don't know what I would have been, but could have been a Rav of a shul and, you know, Chutzlarts, you know, 600 person shul, or, you know, big whatever. I have no idea. Come here. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to. How long can I stay in Chinuch? I have no idea. Hopefully a long time, but, you know, I have no idea. But you think about it. Well, at the end of the day, if every step of the Isrusa Dolatasa of our calling and making ourselves. Into, you know, our preparation for the Geula include some of these aspects which are very, very difficult, but that's also a tremendous schus, a tremendous, tremendous schus. And I think Rav Schechter said this once from YU. I believe he said that, I don't know if he said definitively, but he said it's definitely possible that, you know, to be a garbage man in Eretz Yisrael is a lot more holy and get a lot more schus in doing that than being a rav in Chutz Laretz. I mean, he was talking to people about making Aliyah and how important it was, and that, you know, and I'm sure he said this many times. I heard it once or twice, but I think it's something that he says a lot, maybe not in that form. But you know, that idea that just because you could have been something great over there, maybe that's not the best thing. Maybe you should come here and be something a little bit less. And you should know, you know what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu often will find your niche also. It takes time, and sometimes you don't quite find your niche, but you find somewhere. And you know, the point is, again, if we're looking at the slow process of preparing for the Geula, but if part of day-to-day life is preparing for the Geula, and that's exactly what, you know, the building and all the things we mentioned, that's something which can sort of encourage us, you know, specifically us having made Aliyah, as we did a tremendous thing. And, you know, just day-to-day life here can be this Isra'usa Dulatasa, that the more that we build day by day and year by year, and raising our kids here and their kids here, and amazing how many people, you know, are to our schus have come to Eretz Yisrael. So hopefully, based on all that, we can get to the point where you know, we're almost ready to feel that we did what we did for the second Isra'usa Dela'ela coming. And I'll just conclude with Rabbi Israeli in this amazing sefer that they put together, his drushes that he gave on Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaTzmud and Yom Yerushalayim. Really, really nice. So he has a whole drush here about Sfiras Omer in terms of Yom HaTzmud, and he basically makes a similar point. He basically says that that for Jews, we always count looking towards something, meaning we count from the beginning of Sfiras, and we look up from where we come from, we count, you know, whatever day it is, we count, this is the day from that, but it's not just to say, well, look how far we come. It's not like, you know, it's been 200 years since the country's independence. It's not like that. It's always looking towards where we're going. We're going towards Shavuos. And he says here also, in Eretz Yisrael, it's not only looking about where we're coming from and how far we've come, which we have come far, we're looking towards where we're going. It's, you know, again, you can fit it in very nicely. We have this Isra'usa Dela'ela of Yom HaTzmud Yom Yerushalayim, the Big Bang, you know, so to speak. And now it's our time. Now it's our time to work as much as we can over these years to make things closer. And hopefully we're looking for the second Isra'usa Dela'ela, the bang number two of the Moshiach and the Geula coming. B'ezras Hashem, the more that we do, and the more that we prepare, and the more step by step we do of all the different areas of building spiritual, and our bodies, and day-to-day life, and physical, and the roads, and everything else, and the doctor appointments, and the appointments for everything else. B'ezras Hashem, we should be zochet for everybody to come together with a lot of achdus, and be zochet to the Geula Shlema. Very, very soon.
I'm in.
I'll leave garbage, no problem.
Yeah, the ultimate official for Israel. That's why I'm here.